Thank you for the message. Bless my heart. Man of Sorrows, what a name. Think about him. What a name. Man of Sorrows. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement, can it be? Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. He's coming back. When he comes, our glorious King, can you picture the King coming in all his glory? The King is coming in his majesty. He's coming in his glory. He's coming with his kingdom. He's coming with his saints. And we're going to know it's the King. It's the King. I want a King. I appreciate the president, but I'm ready for a King. All his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank you for that. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We've been looking at the story of Hannah and her son Samuel, and Eli and his two sons, and the Lord's dealings with all of them. How the Lord dealt with each one. We saw the Lord's goodness to Hannah in answering her prayer, putting life in her, giving her a child. What goodness it is when God puts life in a sinner. When God, in all of his sovereignty at his good time, the Apostle Paul said, but when it pleased God, he revealed his Son in me. He put life in me. Salvation came to me. The Spirit came to me. And God put life in Hannah. We saw the Lord's goodness to Samuel, her son Samuel, in calling Samuel to himself. When God puts life in a sinner, he notifies that sinner, you have life in you. And the light comes on, the call goes out. God revealed himself to Samuel, and that's the goodness of the Lord. Tonight I want us to look at God's goodness to Eli. God's absolute goodness to Eli. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were both wicked men. We saw it this morning in the Bible study. Wicked, wicked men. They both were priests, just like their father, but they were not God's priests. They were not God's men. They were in it for themselves. False prophets. They left the statutes and the glory of the Lord for their own glory. And in the process, they caused all the people of Israel to sin against their God. All of them. They led all of them into sin against God. And God rebuked Eli for it. God rebuked Eli for it. Now, Hophni and Phinehas did not belong to the Lord. They were not the Lord's, but Eli did. And his rebuke was not to damnation. It was not to the damnation of his soul. It was not a sever from the love and the favor of God. It was chastening because he did not put a stop to his son's behavior. God said, you should have restrained them. That's what he said. You should have taken them out of the ministry, taken them away from this office, if they were causing all the people to err. And he said, because they have done this, I'm going to take their lives from them. And I'm going to take the priesthood away from your family line. Now in chapter 2, verse 27, it says, there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? He said, why do you prefer your sons over my glory and my honor and the holiness of my worship? In verse 34, he said, this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat a piece of bread. He said, they're going to die and the priesthood is going to be taken from your family line. In chapter 3, God called Samuel and he told him to go say the same thing to Eli. Same thing he sent this other messenger. And in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. And we saw that in the Bible study this morning, the Lord's judgment on Israel. They fought against the Philistines and lost. They lost thousands and thousands of men. The Lord was not with them. And he said in verse 13, for I have told them that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. I'm putting this away. I'm putting a stop to it. I'm putting an end to it. Verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning. Can you imagine that this young man didn't go to sleep? Here he loves Eli. The Lord appeared to him. God appeared to him. And God told him the truth of his holiness. And Samuel knew he was going to have to repeat this. Bearing the truth is a holy thing. It is a... And here Samuel lays with the burden of the Lord. The burden of the word of the Lord. He laid there all night long. Verse 15. Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He got up and he started going about the business that he was given. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He told him, God is going to take the life of Hophni and Phinehas. And God is going to remove the priesthood from your family line. The Lord is going to judge the iniquity. He's a holy God. I thought we just said a moment ago that we were going to look at God's goodness to Eli. Isn't that what we said? I thought we were going to see God's goodness to Eli. In all of this announcement that is coming to Eli, where's the goodness? Where's the goodness? And all of this holiness for sin and all of this, where is the goodness? It's in how God allowed Eli to respond. It's in how God allowed Eli to respond. The truth of the word came. The truth of the holy God came. And it's in how God allowed this man to respond. Had God left him to his flesh, had God left him alone, he would have gotten angry at God. That's what he would have done. I will not have this man reign over me. Had God left him to himself, he would have denied his God. He would have. He would have cursed his God. He would have said, after all this time of service, this is how you repay me? But God in his goodness did not leave Eli to himself. Man, such goodness. In kind, tender mercy, God touched his heart. God brought the truth to him. God slayed him with the truth. And in the same process, he touched his heart. God pierced the heart with the needle. And then sewed it up with the thread of the gospel. And he allowed him to say in verse 18, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Man, what an answer. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. You know, we deserve every judgment that could come upon us. We deserve. We are owed in the flesh every possible judgment that could come upon us. Look with me at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 4, it says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." That's exactly what Eli was saying. That's exactly what he was saying. I can't deny my sin. Verse 3, David said, "I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me." I cannot deny my sin. I cannot deny that I have sinned against you. My sin is directly against you. So he said, whatever you speak concerning me, whatever you judge is right. It's right. You're clear in it. You are right and clear in it. He begged, but if you'll purge me with hyssop, if you'll purge me with hyssop, I'll be clean. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. That was Eli's only hope. Lord, do what seems good. I'm clinging to a covenant. We saw this morning he trembled for the Ark of the Covenant. I'm clinging to your blood. I'm clinging. Do we realize honestly what goodness it is from God? Absolute goodness from God that he would give a sinner a heart to say that. Lord, you're good and right in whatever you do. Whatever you do with me is good and right. What goodness that he would in mercy allow the heart of a sinner to not reject his sovereign word. What goodness. But bow to it and love it. Love it. Amen. Amen. That's mercy. That's goodness. That's grace. Look with me at Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 9, David said, I was dumb. That means silent. I opened not my mouth because you did it. You did it. What wisdom from God. What wisdom. What an operation on the heart from God. Lord, you did it. That's what God convinces his child of. That's what God convinces a believer of. Whatever it is, you did it. Lord, whatever comes my way, you did it. When it comes to my salvation, you did it. Where do I glory? I don't. I'll keep silent. He did it. He paid it all. Look with me at Job chapter 1. Job 1, we know the story of Job. Everything God allowed to happen to him. God took it all. He took it all. Job 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Oh, that's goodness. That's goodness that a sinner would be able to do that in the midst of all of God's dealings with him in that way. He fell down and worshiped. In verse 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God was so good to these brethren. God was so good to Eli. I pray he will show that same goodness to us. I pray he'll show that exact same goodness to us. In the midst of horrible, horrible news, God gave Eli the true peace and contentment, the true peace and comfort of knowing in his heart it is the Lord. It is the Lord. And he allowed him the peace and the comfort of saying, let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, what? That's peace. That's peace. In everything that comes our way, every single thing that comes our way, if the Lord would allow us to say the same thing, this flesh naturally does not go there. This mind naturally does not go there. This heart naturally does not go there. That's the last place a man naturally goes. It's the goodness of God that leads a sinner to that. But if God would lead us to that same place, if He would allow us to say the same thing, we would find the same true peace and contentment. Peace and comfort. Now, I just want to think about Eli's response for a second. Just think about the words that he said, and I hope through it the Lord will send some comfort to us. Go back to 1 Samuel 3. Verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. It is the Lord." Our Lord was walking on the sea one night. And just stop and think about that statement for a minute. The wonder, the awe of who this man is, that he is able to do that. Our Lord was walking on the sea one night, and the disciples were in the midst of the sea in a ship. And when he came up on them, they were scared to death. They saw his coming. Something was coming up on them. Something that they were not expecting. All of a sudden, they see something that they did not expect to see, and they're scared to death. Scared to death. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know who it was. But he spoke peace to their heart when he said, "It is I. Be not afraid." It is I. Be not afraid. As soon as they knew that, it was fine. Everything was fine. And when God speaks that to our heart, as soon as we know that, it's fine. Everything is fine. All of the apostles were fishing one night about 300 feet off of the shore. John and Peter were in the same boat. They were paired up in boats. After being out there all night long, they caught nothing, not one bite. Early in the morning, they hear a voice from the shore holler to them, "Children, have you any meat?" In their depression, in their frustration, in their shame, they cried, "No." The voice said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." As soon as they did, violence in the ocean broke out. Fish started jumping in the net. They thought they were going to be drowned. It was either lose our livelihood or go down with it. They thought they were going to be pulled under, pulled to the bottom. I'm sure it was an immediate moment of absolute chaos and insanity. It went from nothing's going on to what just happened. In the midst of what they thought was them fighting for their life, John looked at Peter and said, "It's the Lord." Peter, it's the Lord. This is the Lord. Peter got so excited, he dropped the nets, dove in the water, and swam ashore. It's the Lord. When they all got there, there was a meal laid out. They all sat down together to eat. Not one disciple asked him who he was. All of them knowing it was the Lord. I know it's the Lord. I know it is. When the Lord causes his people to know that it is him, it immediately brings true peace and true contentment, true comfort. Absolute comfort. As soon as we realize, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Eli said, "It is the Lord. It's the Lord. It's my shepherd. It's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the Lord my shield. It's the Lord my defender. It's the Lord my provider. It's the Lord my owner. It's the Lord my maker. It's the Lord my wisdom. Wisdom is taking place right now. Eli, didn't you hear what I just told you? Wisdom is happening. It's my righteousness. It's the Lord my sanctification. That's the Lord my redemption speaking. That's my Redeemer. That's the one who redeemed me. It's the Lord my friend. My friend just told me that. My friend just said that to me. It's the one who laid down his life for me. Greater love hath no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friend. The same one who controls all things is the one who laid down his life for me. That's who's doing this. That's who has spoken this, purposed all of this. The one who bought me with his own blood. The one who redeemed me for his own. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Thank God, not what seemeth him evil. Not what seemeth him harmful. Let him do what will bring about good. Just let him do good. Let him do his good. Let him continue with good. It's all for good. It's all for good. Now, I'm going to speak to myself for a second. You're welcome to hold on to this if you want to speak it to yourself at a later date. Right now is for me. This is for me. I am very sincere when I say this. The next time that I am told shocking information, or the next time I encounter a difficult situation, I can either respond with no, 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 or I can say, it is my Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. One of those responses leads to absolute anger, rejection, rebellion, sin. And the other one of those two responses leads to true peace and contentment. Absolute comfort and contentment. God's people rest in the Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. There's a poem that a man wrote many years ago, and I believe it describes the desire and the experience of a believer after a believer comes to know the Lord. I believe this is a believer's desire and experience. It says, "With eager heart and will on fire, I fought to win my great desire. Peace shall be mine, I said. But life grew bitter in the weary strife. My soul was tired, and my pride was wounded deep. To heaven I cried, God grant me peace, or I must die. The dumb stars glittered no reply. Broken at last, I bowed my head, forgetting all myself, and said, whatever comes, his will be done. And at that moment, peace was won." It is such goodness. Oh, it's such goodness. When the Lord allows the heart of his child to have the ability, to say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. It was His will that saved us. It was His sovereign will and purpose that overruled our will in spite of us. Had He left us to our will, we would have run as hard as we could into damnation. Isn't that right? So it's such goodness when the Lord allows the heart of His child to have that ability to say, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. It is God giving peace and contentment to His child when He does that. That is the Lord granting that to us. Here is peace. Here is contentment. Thy will be done. May He teach us to not only say it, but mean it. Mean it. We know we ought to say it. Lord, help us to mean it. Help us to teach us to truly, truly mean it. It is the Lord. It's our Maker. It's our Defender. It's our Redeemer. It's our Friend. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. All right. Let's all stand together.